This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. And joining me as... I think Villa are just firmly marching to the top of the table. That's my prediction. Anyway, coming into the new year is Dan Rogers of the VillaUnderground.com and fresh blood on the show, Max Stokes from Villa on Tour.
Really laggy line, David.
Is it?
Yeah, really bad. Close everything. Close all tabs.
Let me just check one thing. Hold on a sec.
Don't get these troubles on Villa on Tour. That's what I've heard.
No, you absolutely don't.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me on this show, post Middlesbrough Forest madness, it's Dan Rogers from the VillaUnderground.com and Max Stokes from Villa on Tour. Fresh blood on the show. Welcome, gents.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Where do we want to start? Let's start with you, Max. I've seen the video, the Forest video. I love the start of it where you're running to try to get to the game.
Yeah.
So first of all, why were you late?
Basically, every home game we get the train. And we got to the train station, and you may remember that day it was, you know, like storms and rain and all that. And we just saw no trains. So we made the executive decision to drive there.
What, did you kind of hotwire a car or something?
Well,
outside
Street? I drove to the train station.
It's broken Britain, David. That's what this is. They're smashing up cars, posting YouTube videos, hanging out on Fortnite. Jesus, whatever next. They'll be supporting the Blues.
Nah, Owen drove, to be fair to him, in rush hour.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot about that. There was loads of people moaning about the trains because they just closed a couple of lines. I can't remember the sordid details.
It was somewhere near Northfield.
I did like the bit in the video where you said, well, you know, we missed the first three goals, but hey, you know, we got to see seven. So, you know, who's complaining?
Can't complain.
That was a mad evening.
What was that game when Villa played Liverpool twice in like the space of a week? I think it was under Brian Little, where Liverpool beat Villa 3-0 both times. And the second game, I think, I didn't actually go to the game, but I was meeting a Liverpool friend in a bar.
You're not thinking of the infamous Robbie Fowler three goals inside.
Yes.
Why would you bring these things up? See, initially I was thinking, oh, surely he's referring to the 6-0 drubbing at Villa Park. But no, it was worse. It was the other one.
I got there eight minutes late to this bar to watch the game, and they had like 20 screens everywhere. There's like 10 screens behind the bar, so I'm just leaning against the bar, ordering my drink. No, you know, nothing happens in the first 10 minutes. And I looked up, and it was 3-0 to Liverpool already.
What?
And then my mate came in, and he was like 10 minutes late, and I said, oh, we might as well go to another bar now because this game's over. Norwich Cup game, quarterfinals. Me and my mate got stuck in mist and fog, and we got to the Norwich game like 20 minutes in, and Norwich were 2-1 up, so...
Are you suggesting that Mother Nature is trying to prevent Villa fans from getting to the game? All these years that we've been, we should have read the signs.
Well, as soon as we get a good team and suddenly we're looking forward to going to games, that's when Mother Nature steps in, just to maintain the difficulty level of following the team. It's a disgrace. Anyway, let's get into the show. We'll introduce you properly later on, but just for anybody who doesn't know, Max runs the Villa on Tour YouTube channel, which is kicking ass at the moment and way outperforming the club's own official YouTube channel for engagement. Right, on to the 3 points for this week. Actually, it's been a while since we've had a 3 points. First of all, point number one, Messi, fifth in the... Can you pronounce it? Because I got told off the last time I got pronounced.
That's good. Didn't you call it Ballon d'Or? Like it was French.
Like a fragrance.
Perfume.
Ballon d'Or, indeed.
Ballon d'Or.
So Luka Modric won it, which probably getting Croatia into the final in the World Cup went a long way to that. Ronaldo, normal top two finish. Antoine Griezmann finished third. Mbappe, fourth. And then somebody called Messi finished fifth. There's a big outcry now about fifth. But my question is, where the hell was John McGinn? That's the big scandal here.
Yeah, or Alan Hutton for that matter. I mean, do they not follow current trends in football? These people, it's all a fix.
I think the voting must have been done before the Maradona-esque goal at Villa Park against the Blues.
Can you imagine if Messi scored that goal that Hutton scored?
Exactly, he wouldn't have finished fifth, would he?
Exactly.
He would have won. Do you pay much attention to this awards every year? Because this Ronaldo and Messi hype, is it more a younger audience? I don't know, because I don't really buy into it. It's more people now follow players rather than actual teams.
Mm. Yeah, I've had experience of that, people supporting players, but no, I don't really care, to be honest. I follow the championship.
The only reason I cared about it was the comedy clanger or slash sexism row that Martin Solvig's got himself embroiled in.
Oh, my.
he dropped it there, and I think he's not really on point with the feminist movement at the moment, judging by the fact that they've gone to great fanfare to promote the, and rightly so, the women's game.
This was the inaugural award as well.
And Ada Hegerberg, I think she plays for Lyon. And instead of, doing the honourable thing and asking her, talking about her, perhaps a valuable contribution to raising the profile of the women's game, he thought it'd be a good idea to ask her if she twerked. Cue awkward silence. Tumbleweed moment.
I think they need a new DJ, so we'll send in international DJ Chris Budd, who's normally on the show. There's a new gig for him there, I think, next year.
Yeah, next year's open for him.
Yeah, when he'll be presenting John McGinn with the award. Anyway, point number two... this kind of relates to Villa because we witnessed it in the Blues game. Jurgen Klopp, it was a great celebration, was fined $8,000 by the FA and warned about his future behaviour after, he just went crazy, didn't he, when Liverpool scored in it deep into injury time against Everton.
He went full
and
German,
I mentioned the Villa.
He went full.
Apparently, but I think he said that was the first time in 14 years that he's kind of gone mad like that.
I refuse to believe that.
And obviously, in the Blues game, you score a goal like Hutton scored, and if you're not jumping in the halt and celebrating, kind of person are you? And how can you book somebody? The referee should just nod at him and go respect, rather than brandishing the yellow card.
I don't think Hutton cared, to be fair to him.
The referees always look so pathetic, don't they, while they're doing it?
Yeah. No, I think you're right, Max. I don't think Hutton gave a shit about it. He was literally taking a yellow card for the team just for the celebration. But he kept on going and celebrating as they walked back. That was the best thing about it.
But, I did the cursory thing, knowing that we were going to be discussing this. I thought, I'll just Google some similar fines, and you can just type it in. Poland got fined £2,000 and had a behind-closed-door game for racist chanting in their League of Nations game. €2,000. And yet, Jurgen Klopp's been fined £8,000 for celebrating a goal in the 96th minute. One of the weirdest goals I've ever seen, actually. And you think, what do these people want? They make millions and billions of dollars out of TV, out of the emotions, out of the... Now we're going to book Alan Hutton for scoring a goal that he should not humanly be able to score.
They sell the passion... The passion, but when the passion actually rears its head in reality, it gets stamped all over.
Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with the incitement and stuff like that. But
back in the day, Max, it was all about passion and you wouldn't get booked for it.
Oh, that's a shame.
What's your take on this? Should players get booked for celebrating?
Well, I think what Klopp did, a lot of people have said it. Can you imagine if Mourinho did that, ran into the middle of the pitch? I think there'll be a load more people banging on about it. But as it's Klopp, I think he did it against Norwich a few years ago when they beat them 5-4. He ran down the touchline, lost his glasses and all that.
Yeah.
But as it's Klopp, I don't think anyone cares, to be honest.
In the context of it being a local derby, if Dean Smith did it, what would you think about that?
That would be incredible.
Irresponsible.
I don't agree with what Klopp did, to be fair. But yeah, if Dean Smith did it, that would be remarkable.
Well, it's double standards there, Max. Double standards.
Yeah, well, yeah, true that.
I mean, if Dean Smith did it by running towards the away end, no, that would be impressive. That would be very impressive. I'm sure the police would fine him 8,000 just for incitement.
Yeah, they're too busy confiscating cabbages off Blues fans entering the ground. So
that is true. I got to witness that, and I'm still that was the highlight of my day. On Derby Day. Right, moving on to point three. Last night I was at the Football Supporters Federation Awards. My old man said was nominated. Sorry, I didn't invite you, Dan.
I noticed they'd replaced me in the seating plan with another one of your friends.
Oh, Robbie Savage, yes.
Nice of them to put you next to him.
Yeah, I don't know if that was planned or what, because we were like front row, and I invited my friend of mine, an old buddy way back from Australia who happens to be in London at the moment, and he said, oh, you've won if you're sitting here. I said, no, there's no chance of winning, because this is a nomination for the Fan Media Award, and Arseblog were in it, as well as the Anfield Wrap. The Anfield Wrap is like massive as a podcast. I mean, it's almost like a radio station. Mm. And they have their own app and everything. And Arseblog is, I mean, just like the social media, they've got like 500,000 on Facebook and like almost 300,000 on Twitter. So they just put out one tweet or one Facebook share, just say, vote for us, because it's a public vote. They, you know, they essentially win it. But no, it was quite funny, because as soon as I mentioned it on Twitter, the amount of requests I got to do a Dion Dublin... And he was always checking Twitter. He was permanently on Twitter checking things. So I don't know if he didn't do that bit where he look up and look across the table and see who's there. We didn't really chat to Savage because my mate's he directed. He's a bit of an action director. He did Expendables 3 and Hitman's Bodyguard with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson, whatever. So I was more interested in crazy stories about his experiences and all his new fancy friends, and that was quite entertaining. So whatever Savage had to offer wasn't really going to be that impressive.
You weren't interested in Robbie Savage's journeyman career?
Well, I don't know.
He was bang average.
But no, Gary Neville was there. Actually, I would have preferred Gary Neville to be in on the table, because I rate him. But all in, it's a great do to just to get nominated. It's all right, because that entitles you to a free slap-up meal, free drink. And we drank so much wine that 2-hour train back at 11:30 back to Birmingham, getting in at 1:30 in the morning, was a fucking nightmare. I'm still recovering now. I'm sitting here at night with a coffee just to try to get me through this. Anyway, enough of that. Congratulations to the Arseblog, and they also have almost 3,000 patrons. Imagine if we had 3,000 patrons, we would be bringing you a much better show.
We'd be doing
much
it from
better
the moon.
Website.
SpaceX would have shot us to the moon.
So if you're thinking about being a patron, you know what to do. Anyway, moving on to the show. First of all, well, we'll talk about the FA Cup draw very quickly, but then we'll get on to that 5-5 madness. We'll get on to the Borough game, which was pretty impressive, if you ask me. Yep. And also look ahead to West Brom in the context of it being the meeting of the top two scorers in the league, and we'll have a quick rundown of the current top scorers in the division. So first of all, the home draw against Swansea in the FA Cup third round. Any thoughts on that?
It's not ideal. I mean, I was watching it, and the last four balls in the pots were what, Swansea, Liverpool, Wolves, and us. And you know, you're thinking, oh, we could go to Anfield here, Wolves away. No, get Swansea at home. It's not the most glamorous tie. But yeah.
But what do you think about the FA Cup? Because back in the day, I don't want to make us sound like old men and you sound like a young guy, because you know we're all young guys. But I wanted to say, like, when I was a kid, like the FA Cup was one of the reasons I got into football. It was like a big deal, and I could remember like you know, we're going back now. In the 80s, I can reel off all the finals and who won and, you know, the results and everything. I can't do that for anything from 200 onwards. I can't even do it for the 90s. But and then there's been this movement over the last decade, two decades, that suddenly the managers don't take the FA Cup seriously. And then suddenly the fans start to follow suit. So what's your opinion, Max, of the FA Cup? I mean, have you been around when we've actually won stuff, silverware, for example?
Definitely not, no.
So your best experiences, would be when we've got to FA Cup finals and
That
game against Liverpool in the semi as well. What's your view on the FA Cup, and is it something that you want Villa to actually put out a proper team and have a go?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you get a big draw against a Prem team away, you always want to go there and cause an upset, you know. But yeah, I still really love the FA Cup. I was there at the 2015 FA Cup final, which wasn't ideal, so I don't have the best memories of Villa in it. But I still look at it as a good opportunity.
Tell me you went to the semi-final.
I didn't.
Now I feel for you. I feel for you, because that's the only way you could have possibly got through that final was to just think back to that semi and just cling on to that and use it as a comfort blanket.
Close your eyes, which is what most people did on the day.
Yeah,
because I think Chris Budd was in the San Siro for the Milan derby instead of the Liverpool semi as well, so he missed that as well. I don't think I'd still be alive today as a Villa fan if I didn't go to that Liverpool semi-final. There's no way I could have got through the last 7 years of shite.
So what we did instead was we both started Villa websites and have run those for 7 and 8 years respectively to document the pain. In years to come, when archaeologists dig us up, they'll look over this period with probably great surprise that we managed to sustain ourselves. I love the FA Cup. I love the FA Cup.
Yeah, Max, what was your motivation for starting Villa on Tour?
It might sound a bit weird, but I've always liked, you know, cameras and stuff. And obviously I love the Villa as well. So combining those two things together, you know, getting the reactions from goals and just showing other people that maybe can't watch the games or go to the games, just show them what it's like to be there, really.
Because it is a sharp insight into the experience. So I think a lot of people, especially overseas, that obviously can't make games regularly, would definitely be all over it, or should be all over it if they're not watching at the moment. But in terms of, do you into photography, or is it more like filming?
More like filming, really. I'm just into that sort of thing.
Are you into film?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
As a medium. All right.
Yeah.
Been a film journalist for over like 10 years. So I used to visit a lot of film sets and film festivals, mainly doing interviews and everything. So I'm we'll talk later. We'll talk later. And then, yeah, for some reason I started up, as Dan did, this kind of macabre exercise in documenting Villa's struggles. One day we will see the light and then we'll hopefully be laughing. But yeah, when you have a website and a YouTube channel, and I'm sure other guys who have YouTube channels and websites or whatever, you're kind of praying to go back to the Premier League, because you just know that more fans will read that site. Like, for example, if Villa are playing Manchester United, you know, it's going to be all those Man United fans that will check your video out when it's like Villa on Tour at Old Trafford or, whether it's Anfield or whatever. So when you got these owners coming in like Tony Shy and saying, you know, oh yeah, we're going to do this one, and every year goes by and you don't get promoted, you're saying, hey, come on, you're costing me here. I'm trying to run a site here and you're kind of cock blocking my style. So we'll go back. We referred to it earlier on, the 5-5 madness. It's very rare that you get to witness crazy stuff like this. I mean, the last thing I can remember at Villa Park is probably that the 6-4 against Blackburn in the League Cup semi-final. Mm. Obviously, you got there when we were already 2-1 down. So I think at that stage, you probably would settle for a draw, would you? Or do you believe in the Smith ways?
I think under Bruce, you'd definitely take a draw at that point. But under Smith, you just think, we scored 4 against Blues. We can score any amount of goals, and 2-0 down. I wasn't scared at 2-0 down, and especially when I got in at 2-1, I thought we can push on here, and we did.
Going into the game, did you realise that Forest's defence was so good? I mean, it was like the top two in the league, and I think the Villa game's an anomaly, because that's the only time they've conceded in their last 5 games.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that at the time, but if you thought to yourself, shit, we're 2-0 down against a team that hardly ever concedes, you'd have probably turned back and gone home.
Yeah.
But this is an encouraging thing, because Middlesbrough, as we saw, also rated in the, you know, the top, I think they're number one actually, toughest defense, and we just cut through them at will as well. It's exciting times. And first, I think one of the first takeaways was Tammy Abraham finally starting to stick the ball. I mean, he's had lots of chances, but he hasn't kind of converted consistently. Do you see him as like the finished deal? And, you know, if you want, Dan, talk a little bit about these rumours about his alleged January exodus.
I think in the Championship, he's the all-round real deal. You're not going to get much better than Tammy Abraham in the Championship. And to be fair to him, I know he scored 4 in the Forest game, but he could have scored 6 or 7. He had a very good chance before half-time. He should have scored that. But yeah, you can't complain with 4 goals, to be fair. Yeah.
Dan, what's your views on Tammy Abraham?
On Abraham, I think he's head and shoulders above most other strikers in the division. Only 21, he's very complete. The only thing I thought, and it links into the Forest game.
So you seriously rate him higher than Scott Hogan?
Well, if we're talking about a goal per touch ratio, then I suppose Scott Hogan is the benchmark for all international strikers, and what, you know, the Ballon d'Or to take your is his to lose next year. But Abraham, for me, there's a couple of worries, I won't lie, that I don't think Chelsea necessarily would see him as the answer. My big worry is that a desperate Premier League team looks at him in January and goes to Chelsea with a ridiculous offer. And that will test, I think, how tight Villa's contractual arrangement is with him and whether what Abraham's ambitions are. Because I do think, you know, he's in and around the England setup. But he looks, he's been guilty of a few misses, to be fair, and, you know, as already mentioned. But you look at the Forest game, and he's one of the main reasons, I think, with the emergence of a couple of other players who we'll talk about shortly. We are always a threat. We always look likely to score because he's got such a range of finishing as well as a range of movement, and he's a great team player as well.
Did you see that alternate commentary to the Blues game where, I don't know, where the guy referred to him as Villa's insect?
Yes, like some sort of alien creature that's been dropped on this earth.
Which I kind of I get, because he is kind of insect-like in his movement, and I suppose it's his gangly frame to a certain extent. But also in the game, is it Joe, is it Lolly?
Lolly.
Big Villa fan, scores a goal and 4 assists at Villa Park, which is a kind of a weird one when you're a Villa fan. It's like shooting yourself in the foot kind of thing.
Well, Nyland was kind enough to let it sail past him. So, just throw that out there.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I forgot about Nyland. We'll debate Nyland once again, because it's been an interesting week, shall we say. I'm still convinced that it's a no-go, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I think on, you know, the law of averages, we'll talk about him later. I can't bring myself to mention him just yet.
The reason why Forrest managed to also rattle up 5, what do you put that down to? I mean, apart from old Nyland. McGinn, for example, said he wanted to play against the Blues, or Smith said he wanted to play against the Blues, but obviously Smith was looking more at the long game, and obviously we had 3 fixtures within the space of 7 days. But do you think McGinn was up to scratch against Forrest? Because their counter-attack just cut through us like we weren't there.
Forrest played a very, very quick counter, and I think they were very good at it, and I think that was their game plan, and I think a McGinn on his day would have been able to harry them a lot more. Well, we couldn't have done that, but they were so quickly onto our back 4 on that night, especially in the opening 5-10 minutes, that I don't know what difference it would have made, really.
You notice that we also struggle against the counter-attack of QPR as well. Yep. And, you know, we had similar possession, like high, you know, 60s, was it even 70-something against QPR? And that was one of the problems. Why, when we're bossing the game, are we so susceptible to that counter, especially if it's a fast one?
We're playing a very high line as well now. I think that's noticeable. And what that gives us is we're able to hurt teams far more quickly. We're moving the ball generally quite quickly out as well. I think we saw that particularly against Borough. Where that does leave us exposed, it leaves us the huge gaps behind either where either winger would be when they're not tucked in. Because I think the expectation is when we've got the ball, we almost have an attacking 4, don't we? And it's sprayed out from centre mid.
Yeah, the 5-5. I watched the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight, and it kind of reminded me of that. I mean, that was an epic fight. And in the game against Forest, when Forest went down to 10 men, Villa went 5-4 up. You thought, okay, we've got them now. And then, like Tyson Fury in the 12th round, when he got sparked out, and you thought that was it, they suddenly kind of rose from the dead and got that equaliser. How do you feel at the end of the game with that point? Was it a point gained, or was it a missed opportunity?
I think after winning being in the lead at 5-4, you think you should be slightly disappointed with that point. But I think the game as a whole, it's just disbelief. You just got to take it. I think Dean Smith said it's just a mad game that you don't get ever. You just have to take it and move on, really.
Yeah.
My take would be, I'm not far away from where Max is, I suppose, but there were three things. Once you've got ahead, after everything that had happened, they were down to 10 men. Tuan Zebi probably gets grabbing into the one position where he's got the least amount of goal to aim at.
Yeah.
10 minutes before the end, I guess. It was early 80s that he scored. And he gets a goal at the near post.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's obvious we can't hold off on Nyland, so what are you saying, Nyland? We can't postpone this any longer. In or out in January?
I'm out. I think he's made a handful of very, very good saves. He made a very good save against Borough. But I think he's costing us. And I also think that when a goalkeeper doesn't look to have confidence of the players in front of him. I mean, I can't speak for everyone. Me as a fan, I'm nervous by him. I think he's scary from corners, even in the games we've dominated like Borough, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
I think that Smith has got to big him up at this point. I think he's got to talk him up, and I think that's a good thing. That's a good man in management thing. But I think it's deluded to think that Villa won't be looking for an alternative in January.
Yeah. Max, are you feeling confidence sitting in the upper halt when you're watching Nyland, or are you on the edge of your seat?
I think what Dan said's right. If he doesn't fill the fans with confidence, how's he going to fill, you know, a back four with confidence? And I think if there's a decent alternative going in January, like Tom Heaton or whatever, you've got to get him in, because Nyland doesn't fill anyone with confidence, really. Like, he makes these mad saves. Like, you look at Middlesbrough, that one where he pushed on to the bar. I remember he made one at Reading at home. But if he can't do the simple stuff, is it time to go?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I'm looking at the Villa team and I'm thinking this team is starting to rock and roll, and we've got as good chance as anybody to get promotion, and that includes automatic. But there is one big, big question mark, and it's that the threat to that promotion is Nyland. It's like 100%. I don't trust him at all.
I think the final thing I'll say is, and I don't want to dwell on bagging him out, because I think that, and I don't want it to seem like a personal thing that we need a scapegoat almost, but I just think in those, you know, those crucial games where, and they'll come, especially over this busy Christmas period of fixtures, and you know, the games where you might only have a 1-0 lead, you might be away from home holding on to a draw, when you're gonna, you need a big goalkeeper with him who can command his area, as Johnston had become last season, where you could be confident he would come and collect, and it takes all the pressure out. And I worry that at key moments, is Nyland good enough? Because he's a senior keeper, he's not a young guy. I think if you're any opposition manager, and I'm astonished Pulis didn't target him more with aerial balls against Borough, but he'd be the first person to circle in our team as the opposition manager as a weakness.
Yeah, talking about Pulis, what was very interesting in the Borough game, and I thought this was a bit like the Derby game, obviously the same score, but the way Villa controlled this game against one of the, let's say, promotion hopefuls on their own patch was very impressive. But the first thing I noticed was, obviously, it was well known Borough have got the tightest defence in the league, and a lot of it's down to obviously Flint and Bart, and as soon as Villa got anybody down that line, and the biggest one was like when El Mohamedi got the ball, normally if he's on the edge of the 18-yard box, he'll like cross it in, you know, kind of a hit and hope. But at no point were they putting in hopeful balls. They were like putting in low and hard crosses. They were trying to construct something and they were keeping it out of the air, so the Middlesbrough centre backs just couldn't eat it up, and it kept them off balance, and you know, they didn't know what to expect, Middlesbrough. And I thought that was some smart coaching. Yep. There you were there, Max, weren't you, in the land of the Borough? How was that trip?
Yeah, it was long. I've done it several times now, but it was definitely worth it. The best time I've seen up there.
I was going to say, how does it compare? Because obviously we won there in the playoff semis last season.
In terms of the performance, this was so much better. The day as a whole, obviously, wasn't, but the performance has come on leaps and bounds since then, to be fair.
But it is a different mood now, isn't it? It's a different team completely.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got a different objective since last year. Obviously the aim's still promotion, but we're playing in a different way, and that's making the fans happier, and it's just better to watch overall.
Let's pick one player out. How did you view Chester's performance? Because he's been having a bit of a mare in recent games, but he's, you know, I mean, obviously he's scored, but he seemed to, he was the main man again defensively.
Yeah.
Did you notice anything?
I think he was much better on Saturday than he was in the Forest game. In the Forest game, I don't think he was fit whatsoever. Mm. Obviously he had that injury in international duty.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think he was playing against Forest.
He was
so absent.
He was on one leg.
Yeah, but he was so much better on Saturday, and hopefully he can just stay fit, because James Collins on the bench doesn't fill me with confidence. But yeah, James Chester, he's looked better on Saturday, so hopefully he can keep that going.
What have you got against James Collins?
Oh, I just think he's not the best backup centre-back. To be fair, at least he is a centre-back. I'd rather have him than Jedinak.
Yeah, I think in terms of physicality, he would probably help our Norwegian goalkeeper a little bit, because he's kind of known for getting his head on the ball. I mean, I don't think he's the complete centre-back. He's old school. He's not somebody who can play the ball out, which obviously Smith's been trying to do as a habit. So that might go against him. But I think he's just last resort. Just back up.
As an aside on Collins, I was putting an article up on the site about him rejoining the club. I thought, I'll just search my site for any old articles or any content I might have put about him, just to refresh my memory. And the last passing statement I had about Collins, it was in an article debating, and this is laughable in itself, who was better between him and Carlos Cuellar, was that I referred to him as incomprehensibly bad. So I don't know. I think the only way is up, really, for Collins from my point of view. You know, is it a step up from Samba, is it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good poll, actually. Is James Collins a step up from Samba? Maybe he's going to have an Indian summer in his career and he's suddenly going to be the man. But that's the interesting thing. You think he's 35 and then you're thinking John Terry turns. Well, John Terry was playing when he was 38, but there's a big difference. If you're good...
I'd pick Terry now.
You'd still pick Terry now, even, you know, without proper player pre-season training, whatever you'd still...
No, I didn't mean as a player. I just meant as my dad. I just have him as my...
Oh, right. The main difference in the last week has been the emergence of Yannick Bolasie as an actual Aston Villa starter, and the Alghazi guy's back in,
like him as
back
well.
In the fray. Thoughts, especially on the Middlesbrough game, obviously, where they both started. Your immediate reaction when you see the team sheet and you see Bolasie starting and Alghazi?
Well, Bolasie, I've got no issues there. I think when he first came to us, he wasn't fit whatsoever, but... Mm. He came on in pretty much every single game as a substitute around the hour mark and pulling the strings. But when he starts and he's fit, he's just something else. You can tell he's a Premier League player, definitely.
Mm. Yeah. The quality of his crossing is on another level from what we've seen straight away.
Yeah. I think Alghazi as well. I didn't expect him to start on Saturday, to be fair. When he came on against Norwich in one of Dean Smith's first games, he was absolutely woeful. But I was surprised to see him against Forest, to be fair. And obviously he scored that wonder goal. Mm. And yeah, I was happy to see him start on Saturday. And it was really, really good, to be fair. Surprised me.
His time at Ajax, I've got a friend, I think he's like head of the Ajax supporters club, the main big supporters club. Funny enough, I'm going to Amsterdam next week, so I might take in an Ajax game. But he was saying he was really good, because when he was younger, I think it was when he was 19, he was starting and he was really doing the business. My friend said he's very strong. He's hard to get off the ball. So when he gets the ball, you know, around their 18-yard box, and I've noticed this against Middlesbrough, it's not as if he's not somebody, you know, he gets played through and then, you know, the centre back just kind of pushes him aside and he gets the ball. He can hold, you know, he can hold the ball up almost like an old school number nine in terms of his hold up play. But I think the reason why he slipped from favour so quickly was I don't think he was grafting, probably in training and also on the pitch. I think his first game was against Reading, wasn't he? And he was pretty cool in that game. But that was because we had most of the game and Reading weren't really up to much. But when it got a bit dirtier and tougher, he kind of went missing. But I think Smith has kind of put a rocket up his backside, and I think he realises that he has to work now. And both of those guys did really well defensively as well, that Middlesbrough couldn't get anything going down the flanks, because obviously they wanted to answer your question about Pulis not getting crosses in against Nyland. I think Smith, through El Ghazi and Bolasie, basically utilised them to shut off, you know, the channels and the flanks, so they couldn't get in positions to deliver Nyland's death blow.
I mean, just to top off what you're saying, I suppose, is that, I mean, I agree with all of that. I think the couple of things that I think about Bolasie is that he's got a horrible trait for defenders, in that you haven't got the first clue what he's going to do with either the ball or himself. It's virtually horrible. Yeah. You know, you can't read it. What you said about the crossing as well, I think he's got real vision there, and he can plant a ball, with quite an arrowed ball, with pace, and that's so dangerous. My other observations of El Ghazi, because we haven't really seen a lot of him, is like a lot of players who are in and around the periphery, who you think if they could have a run of games, you know, I think you mentioned in the previous podcast that you'd like to see someone like Lansbury, you know, as and when injuries and rotation come in, and he gets an opportunity, because El Ghazi came in and like probably many others thought, this is his chance, but he's shown nothing yet. And incredibly skillful, wants to get in and around the penalty area, has got a shot in him, looks very creative, strong. I mean, he's got all the attributes that I think, if coached and given a clear role, probably like a number of players. Hourihane looks like another player who now he's got a role. But El Ghazi is great to have in the bag over a busy Christmas period.
Yeah, because El Ghazi, he fell from grace at Ajax because in a nutshell, a new manager came in and didn't fancy him. And that was, you know, that's why he got shipped off to France. We are struggling today because I'm hungover from these awards and I'm at the end of a cold. Dan's also, are you mid-cold or
I am,
in transition?
I am somewhere
in the
depths of man flu. So it's 50-50 at the moment. The Villa Underground there could be a big black banner over it. It's touching.
And Max is in his pyjamas and he wants to go to bed. So we got to wind it up very quickly. We just wanted to get a podcast out discussing, obviously, Forest, Middlesbrough, and also the upcoming derby against West Brom, which actually pits the league's two top scoring teams. Do you think it's going to be a Mexican shootout at the Hawthorns? I mean, Villa are now pretty much 2-1, aren't they? They've scored 39 goals in 20 games. West Brom has scored 42 in 20 games. Is it going to be 0-0, or do you think it'll be more of the same in terms of Villa banging them in?
I think it's going to be a difficult one on Friday.
They're still a Premier League team, aren't they?
Yeah. I think they score for fun. We haven't scored in only one game this season, and that was QPR away, and they've only kept one clean sheet this season. So it's probably set up for, I don't know, another 5-5, let's say. But I'm expecting lots of goals.
Oh, I couldn't take that. That'd be too stressful. It'll be particularly stressful for me because, and this is where I'm going to out myself, I have a ticket, but not necessarily in the correct part of the ground. So it could be a lot of, I need to learn everything there is to know about the inner workings of West Bromwich Albion and learn to sit on my hands and keep my mouth closed.
I remember the 1996 League Cup semi-final when Arsenal were beating us 2-0, and Dwight York scored a late equaliser, and I was in the North Bank at the Highbury, which is their holt, and I took like a couple of mates who were like neutrals.
Yeah,
there's about four of us, I think, and those are in the days where you could actually get in on the night of a semi-final of a League Cup without having references. Wonderful. or previous. You could just get into Arsenal like on the night, and Arsenal now there's like, what is it, 6-year waiting list for a season ticket or something. I mean, this is how times have turned. But I Dwight York scored. I think it was a header, made it 2-2 in the last minute, which basically set it up. We drew.
Did you make a little noise?
I jumped up, full jumped up, and it was, if you imagine it in slow motion, I was there like arms just going in the air, and then I just shouted, "Fucking hell, Seaman!" as I came down and landed, I was like, "Fucking hell, Seaman!" Everybody turned around and was like, "Well, if you save that, you'd probably be the best goalkeeper in the world." People were looking at me with the expression, "How the fuck do you expect him to save
that?"
Better
to be thought of a complete raving lunatic than out yourself as a Villa fan.
Yeah. So I sat down in my seat. I was just shaking my head, like.
I am taking tips.
Yeah, write this down. Yeah, just shaking and like almost pretending to spit on the floor, just like showing like crazy madness. So, A, they think you're mad. and B, don't mess with somebody who's mad, because you never know how it's going to go. Well, so that's the way you protect
mad,
yourself.
So. Stark, mad, raving loony.
People actually don't go to games. When, like, the away tickets sell out, they'll go, oh, it's sold out, I can't go. Well, get a ticket in the home end. Oh, no, I can't do that. I think it's another level of, it's another added, you know, element of fun of going to football games is going to an important game in the home end.
And wearing your shirt underneath. I've already got my all black Luke replica training top. It's all black. It's covert.
You should wear, just have a Tesco bag in your pocket just in case for emergencies.
Look, I need a favourite player. Who can my favourite player be? I can't think of a really shit Albion. There's a loads of really shit Albion players.
Well, I'm just looking at the, just to bring it back on track, I'm just looking at in the top goal scorer charts for the Championship. We've just been bigging up the baggies, saying they're the top scorers, but it doesn't seem they don't have a main man, do they? I've only got the, let's say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got like 9 goals and up. Mm. So you've got even people like Callum Robinson, Preston, ex-Villa, with his 9 goals. And there's no signs of a baggies. There's even 2 Blues strikers in there in the top 8 or so.
It would be an interesting game. I did watch the game against Albion playing Brentford, and that though the Albion were wasteful, they'd be disappointed not to have won that game. The only thing I'd say about West Brom is, they're in a better shape than when we got relegated. There's no doubt about that. But they have got that sense of needing maybe something just to get them, turn them into a powerhouse. You know, like Newcastle, there was never any doubt that they
bit
were going
to... Bit of spark
to,
as well.
Yeah, that's what they need. And I'm not quite sure they've found there. They have an obvious style as yet.
Just looking at the top of the Championship top scorers, Lewis Graban is there with 14 goals.
I think he's a great striker at this level.
And he just looks class. I mean, Max, would you have kept him if we had actually some money at the early part of the summer? Would you have got him in for like 3 seasons or so?
Yeah, probably. If I didn't know about Tammy Abraham now, I'd probably take Abraham. But then if you offered me Graban, I'd snap your hand off, because I think he's one of the most complete strikers in this league, and he can do a bit of everything. And if you give him a chance, any chance, he'll score.
Yeah, and I don't know why that he doesn't get on with the Premier League. I don't know if it's because he doesn't run around like a madman and he's not like a super, super athlete. I don't know if that's because he's class. He's like he cruises around the pitch. He kind of jogs around. And I don't know if people think he's lazy. It's like a misinterpretation when he's actually, you know, technically he's very good. It's a bit of an enigma, but he's obviously settled with Forest. And Forest, I think they've got a part to play in the promotion shake-up at the end, because the way they cut Villa apart, I think they can turn it on and they'll be a serious contender after Christmas once the top 3 or 4 start breaking away. Any other team that's impressed you so far? I mean, Norwich obviously have been very impressive recently.
I know. I don't know where Norwich have come from.
Do you fear anybody in this league now? Because Villa have obviously transformed into another beast now. Do you actually fear any team? Who would you say is our 3 rivals, even though we're 8th?
Yeah, the way we're playing now, I don't fear anyone. But you look at Leeds, who can turn on against anyone. Sheffield United, who are doing very well this season. It's just that top 6. If we just, you know, we look at Middlesbrough, you look at Derby, we've been to both them grounds and we've done them. So if we beat the top 6 and just keep our head up around those parts, we'll be all right.
Yeah, I think that Leeds game's going to be a bit of a Christmas cracker. Mm. If we win that, then it's that's just a statement of intent, really.
Leeds are a bit all over the place. They got smashed at West Brom 4-1, but then they went to Sheffield United and won 1-0, so who knows what to expect, to be fair.
And I think I'd just turn it on its head slightly. What you were just talking about is that I think genuinely for the first time people are starting to fear Villa, and you know that's happened in the last 3 or 4 games now. You cast your eye across social media, you see some of the, particularly some of the local press reports from Teesside about how it was a bit of a wake-up call to them in their season, and how far, you know, they were well soundly beaten by Villa, and that's starting to change the narrative, if you like, that we're going to places, I won't say expecting to win, but having that feeling like at Forest that you're almost thinking, well, we're approaching the game trying to win. And that's a revelation, really, for us.
There's definitely potential there for a new hashtag, Fear the Villa, because Wes Eden's Milwaukee Bucks, the basketball team that he also co-owns, their hashtag is Fear the Deer.
I like that.
So fear the villas coming in. But what a great hashtag that you're basically saying you should fucking fear us because we're good, which is hasn't been a feeling we've had for a long time because we turned into a bit of a joke club. Even Burton were turning up at Villa Park expecting to, you know, they have a chance of getting some points when in reality, you know, you should be sweeping these teams aside. No disrespect to Burton because they obviously swept us aside in the League Cup.
Yep.
Right, let's get out of here. Before the midnight hour, we don't want to know what happens to Max Stokes once it gets to midnight. Do you want to shout out anybody? I think that Owen chap needs a good shout out.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Owen Thompson. He's on the Villa on Tour videos. He's a good lad.
One thing about just to end this, I mean, I don't do YouTube because there's only a certain amount of hours in the day. But also the comments on YouTube, it's another world compared to Facebook, Twitter and, I don't know, Instagram. The comments on YouTube videos are the ones that actually will have me in tears laughing. They're like on another level. I mean, have you experienced that, you know, pro and negativity in terms of the kind of responses you get?
Yeah, to be fair, I get some really nice comments, especially from people like overseas. I've had people from like El Salvador, which is really weird watching my videos, but
wow.
I get some really, really shocking comments and some that I can't really repeat on this podcast. But yeah, overall, it's all good.
Why not?
Yeah, go, we're well seasoned to hate.
we label this explicit for a reason.
Oh, I don't know. They're just talking about, oh, you've got a shitty YouTube channel. You think you're so cool coming to our place and saying we've got shit support. It's just weird. But yeah, I enjoy it really.
That's to be expected though. I mean, that's just the domain of, you know, keyboard worrying.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Your YouTube comments, I think my favourite one is when somebody referred to Owen as their dad. I think they just said, they just said, he's my dad.
Yeah.
He is like a seasoned 50-year-old in a body of a teenager.
He'll be glad to hear that.
He's like an old school BBC comedian from like the 70s or 80s or something. He's like a real throwback. That's why he works.
Yeah, he's a bit of a comedy character.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tamburino stand. Here we are with the Yeovil Town manager. Are you happy today? You're gonna win the game?
Yes, we are. 4-0, mate.
4-0 Yeovil today. Cheers, manager. Here we are, just outside the stadium. Here's a picture of when Yeovil won the Champions League.
Good memories.
Won the Europa League in that one.
Shout out to Owen. But no, the thing with anything, especially like supporter media, is just being genuine. I mean, a lot of people try to use it for like vehicles to do something and, you know, tried to break into mainstream media or something, but mainstream media is overrated. It's a load of crap. And the only way you get a really good voice and you can actually be yourself and, you know, be truly independent is do your own thing. So
absolutely,
keep on rocking. And Max will be back, hopefully. Actually, I think Chris Budd sits fairly close to you up in the upper hole. I think he's to the left, down a bit.
Okay.
Is he? I think he's K4.
I'm K4 as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, I'm sure we'll get you on so you can talk all things up a whole bore us to death.
Very good.
Anyway, thank you very much, Max, for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Just quickly, please, if you're listening on Spotify, follow. If you're listening on iTunes, follow. Or if you're listening on anything, follow, subscribe. Join the Mad Few Facebook group as well.
Share us on socials.
Yeah, share, like, all that good stuff. And before we go, I just want to give a shout out to the new My Old Man Said patrons who have signed up over the last couple of weeks. Big thanks to Stephen Doddridge, Stephen Fenner, Evan Kelly, Sean Carroll, Andrew Gallivan, Andy Ellison, Chris Barker, Peder Breger, hopefully I pronounced that right, James Lavat, Sanjay Patel, Chris Rumble, Alan Biseka. Thanks to also Simon Dakin for upping his pledge. If you can support us by becoming a My Old Man Said patron, that would be a great help. Also, another thing, Facebook invited My Old Man Said to their creator setup, so we might do some things there. Also, that you can become a supporter on via Facebook. There's a badge that says become a supporter, and essentially there's only one level, but the good thing is it's in pounds where the Patreon isn't. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com, My Old Man Said, and you'll see the Become a Supporter sign on the actual page. And it's you just click that and it's pretty simple. It's just via PayPal. So until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
My old man said,
the Villa Underground Christmas jumpers are coming.
Did Villa on Tour do any Christmas jumpers? You're getting into the Christmas jumper merch line?
Maybe next year.
Bastard, that's my market. Get out of here.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.